Chapter 4, verses 22 through 32. Title of my message tonight is "The Choice is Yours." We know this passage. Tonight I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter pretty well. And you know, situations like this could cause us to lose our perspective and lose how God wants us to be. And how He doesn't want us to be. This morning we talked about having faith in a flood of problems. And we looked at the life of Noah. And we saw a man who was willing to walk. He was willing to work. He was willing to witness. He was willing to wait. And he was willing to worship. But tonight, this is for all of us. Because of all the situations we've been through, it's hot. It could be easy to lose perspective. And so tonight, I want us to look very simply at this passage and apply it to our lives as we come out of this time of virtual meetings and as we come out of this time of sickness. But let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You again for who You are. Lord, I just pray that You be with this time. Lord, as we do this quick study of this passage, Father, that You just change our lives and help us, Lord, not to lose perspective of You. Lord, I just ask that You just watch over us, Lord, and just be with these requests again. And Father, that You show Yourself strong. We ask all these things in Your Son's precious and holy name, Jesus. Amen. In the last part of this passage, we see a very familiar verse. And this is how God wants us to be. Verse 32, and we'll start out with where God wants us to go. And then we'll look at the previous verses and we'll find out how we can get there. And in this last verse, verse 32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And here we see, in this verse, we see three things that God wants us to be. The first one that we see here in this first phrase is that we're supposed to be kind one to another. If you look at this word and you look up what the meaning is, this word actually means to be gracious. To be gracious is to give the benefit of the doubt. To be gracious is to help someone in need. To be gracious is to have bowels of mercy. It is exactly the same word that's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. And it says, "If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." We need to understand that everything in our Christian life comes because of God. We're supposed to be just like Him. That is the will for the Christian, is to be conformed to His image. God has predestinated us for that. And so if God is gracious, we need also to be gracious. So how does God want us to be? He wants us to be kind or gracious. The second thing He asked for us to be in this verse is tenderhearted. If you go and you look this one up, it's to be compassionate. You know, when Christ was in His earthly ministry, He looked at the crowds. Some of those crowds didn't see the same way He saw. Some of those crowds were just out there just to see what all the hubbub was about. But every time God looked on the situation, He looked on the crowd, we see time and time and time again in the Scripture that He had compassion on them. And He healed their sick. And He fixed their problems. This word for tenderhearted is translated compassion. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, the exact same word says, "Finally," Peter's writing to the church. He says, "Be ye all of one mind." We know we have the mind of Christ. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." If you go up further in Ephesians chapter 4, we see all the issues about having unity in the church. And Peter's calling out for this too, and he says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. In order for us to have unity in the body, in order for us to be of one mind, in order for us to be like Christ, we need to be gracious and we need to be compassionate. And it says, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. We're supposed to love one another as if we're family. And we are all family. Part of our family is hurting. And Paul writes about, he says, if one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. If we all share that suffering, we are compassionate. We are compassionate. And then he goes on, he says, love his brethren, be pitiful. Don't act pitiful, be pitiful. Okay? My wife says I'm pitiful all the time. But the issue is we're supposed to have compassion on them and see things, what they're going through. And then lastly, be courageous. That's how God wants us to be. You can go to Matthew chapter 5 and you have the Beatitudes. That's how God wants us to be as people in the kingdom. He wants us first to be gracious. He wants us next to be compassionate. And then the last one here is forgiving one another. When you look up this definition in the Greek, it means to pardon. We went through the major doctrines, the major doctrine of the Bible, and the big issue about redemption is that God takes us out of the slave market, never to go back again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul's writing the second verse, and you know there was a problem in the Corinthian church about someone that was out of God's will, and they had exercised church discipline. And basically, they're all sitting there trying to deal with this one. And it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, it uses the exact same word for forgive here. It says, so that contrariwise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Oh, folks, today, we need to be like what God wants us to be. As we deal with these troubles, as we deal with the floods of all the things that are going on in our lives, we need to be how God wants us to be. You know, oftentimes you go and you buy a puzzle. And I like puzzles occasionally. And you get that puzzle, and you look on the box, and you see what it's supposed to look like, and then you open it up, and there's all these pieces. And it takes some time to put all the pieces together. But God wants us to put all these pieces together so that in the end we are gracious and that we are compassionate and that we can pardon one another. And so you might ask, well, how do I get there? Now we can go back up to the front part of this passage and we can see this. About this pardon thing, we need to understand how much we have been forgiven. And God wants us to have that attitude. You know what? God wants us to be just like Him. We can't do it. We can't think our way to do it. We can't will our way to do it. We have to have His grace to do it. So the biggest part of my message tonight is how to get there. How to get there. Three major points as we study the rest of this. The first thing is we got to get out of our old selves. We need to put off the old man. Now, what does this put off the old man mean? It means to change direction. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. See, we are redeemed. We're bought out of the slave market, never to return. When we were a slave to sin, we couldn't do anything for God. and God's given us new clothes. God's given us a new position. He's justified us. He's sanctified us. He's reconciled us. And we need to understand that we need to be going in a different direction. That you put off concerning the former conversation. That's not talking. That's talking about walking. That's the path that you were on. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So you want to get to the point where you can be gracious for God. You want to get to the point where you can be compassionate for God. You want to get to the point where you can have pardon. You can pardon other people and you can overlook other people's problems and faults and see the soul that's there. We need to change direction. We need to put off the old man. Well, how do you do that? You got to think about it. The second part of this is you got to change your mind. And make up your mind that you're not going to go back. That's what Romans chapter 12 talks about, that we're supposed to be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. In verse 23 it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, that's how you put off the old man. I will make a decision daily that I will not put him on. I will make a decision daily that I'm going to go God's way and not my own way. So we need to change the direction. We need to change your mind. And thirdly, we need to change our appearance. There's a lot of people I know that say they are Christians, but they look like they've been sucking on prunes for all their life and sucking on lemons. Folks, we're supposed to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're supposed to have the joy of the Lord, and it's our strength. We're supposed to have peace that passes understanding. We're supposed to do all these things and think on all these virtuous things. But we need to change direction. To change direction, you need to change your mind. And then change your appearance. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, it says this, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, this is not the only place that Paul writes this. He writes it to the Colossians. He writes it to the Galatians. He writes it to the Philippians. He writes, you know, everybody has this issue. And folks, it's easy to lose perspective and go back to the old way. It's easy to lose perspective and not do things the way God wants us to be. We have to put off the old man. If you still go on there and you still try to dabble in the old and put on the new, Christ Himself said, He said, you can't put new wine in old bottles because they burst. It doesn't work. You can't put a new piece of cloth in an old garment because it's going to get rent. So how to get there? The first thing is to put off the old man. The second thing is make a change in character. You can try it. You know, there's a commercial. You could try rubbing it out and scrubbing it out. You can't do it. You need God's grace for this. You need to make a change in character. In order to have that, no lies. That's no lie. No. No lies. Let's not be politically correct. Let's tell truth in the spirit of love. Let's do all the things that we're supposed to do. In Ephesians 4, verse 25, it says, wherefore putting away lying. If you've got a problem, say it. Got an issue, put it out. Don't say things are good when they're not. Don't say everything's fine between us when it's not. It says, wherefore put it away lying. Speak every man what? Truth with his neighbor. Now you're going to say, well, who is my neighbor? You just be just like Peter. Remember what Peter said? What Jesus said, he used the parable of the Good Samaritan to answer that question. Someone you don't know. Folks, it ought to be easy to speak truth to the ones in the body of Christ. It ought to be easy to speak truth to those who know the truth. And it says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to it with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Make a change in character. Make no lies. The second thing is, hold no grudges. Hold no grudges. In verse 26, it says, be ye angry. You know, sometimes it's good to have righteous anger. Christ did. When he went into the temple and he cleaned it out, he said, you made my house a house of prayer, a den of thieves. And he drove them out. We ought to be angry at sin. We ought to be angry at wrong. We ought to be angry at evil. There are things that we're supposed to be angry at. If God hates it, we should hate it too. But it says this. It says, be ye angry and sin not. See, what we like, sometimes we like to do is hold a grudge and get bitterness. And then we'll go on the other side of the street to avoid it. We won't go to the store if we know that someone else is going to be there. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know why? We're supposed to keep our sin account short. We're supposed to keep everything short on a daily basis. Because if you keep on harboring something in day after day after day after day, it'll turn into bitterness, it'll turn into anger, it'll turn into wrath, and then it'll break a relationship. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So you need to make a change of character. Speak truth. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. No lies. Be ye angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. No grudges. And then the last thing is, no evil. No evil. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, it says, neither give place to the devil. In 2 Corinthians, it says that we're supposed to fight a spiritual warfare with spiritual things and not carnal things. And we're supposed to have basically put our mind in captivity of Christ. See, if you're going to look for fault, you're going to find it. If you're going to hold a grudge, you're going to give place to the devil. And right here, how do you get there? How do you get to what? Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. How do you get there? No evil. Don't give place to the devil. You know, in our world today, the devil's having a field day. There's all these things going on. We can lose our perspective. Let's not give place to him. You know, we're supposed to fill ourselves up with God. That's putting on the new man. So we need to make a change in direction. Change your mind and change your appearance. Basically, put off the old man. And then make a change in character. Because how we think and how we have on the who we are on the inside is what we do on the outside. And then thirdly, we need to make a change in conduct. There's four verses left in here and there's 4 points. Make a change in conduct. The first one we need to make a change in is an effort. We talked about this morning how that Noah, for 120 years, he and his family, the only ones building the ship. That was a big ship. And sometimes we just fail at the size. We just say, I can't do it because the task is too big. Or the task is too long. Or the task is too hard. Oh, we need to understand that we need a change in conduct and effort. Let him that stole, steal no more. But, and look at this one. But rather let him what? labor. That means you got to work at it. We got to show our faith. Working with your friend's hands. Working with the pastor's hands. Working with the teacher's hands. No, working with his hands. The thing which is good. We're all called to work. God's created us as his workmanship. So let him that stole steal no more. That was the old way. Let's try the new way, which is exactly opposite. Instead of taking, giving. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he... Why does he need to work? Why do we need to work? Here's the answer right here. That he may have to give to him that needeth. Boy, that's a change in conduct. That's totally contrary to the world today. So how to get there? Make a change in conduct and effort. Secondly, make a change of conduct and expression. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. We're not talking about cursing. We're talking about tearing people down. Because when you look at these verses, there it says, this is one way, and here is the God's way. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, to build up one another, that it may what? Minister grace unto the hearers. See, this change in conduct basically says, don't steal, don't work for yourselves, work for others. We've seen that in Philippians chapter 2. The change of conduct also says, hey, don't talk bad about people. Don't talk nasty about people. But basically, help people up. It's okay to be different. But at the same time, we can't put our difference on somebody else. We all need to serve God the way God tells us to. And if we're all serving God the right way, we'll all be in unity here. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What does God want us to be? He wants us to be gracious. If we can't be gracious in our words, we can't be gracious in our actions. Make a change in conduct and effort. Make a change in conduct and expression. Thirdly, make a change in conduct and effectiveness. I do not understand why people who doing their own thing, living in sin, not following God, think that God's going to bless them. Think that God's going to use them. You know what happens when a Christian goes out and willfully sins? You tarnish the testimony. Not only of you, but of the church. And you basically say that God is good enough to save, but he's not good enough to serve. Or to be served. In verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Oh, I think if we look at our actions in a daily case and ask us if this is something that's pleasing to God, as David preached a couple of Sunday nights ago about faith, without faith it's impossible to please him. We need to look at our lives and look at our actions and look at our talk and look at everything we do and say, is this pleasing to God? As Noah, the very first thing he got out of the ark, he made a sacrifice which was a sweet smelling savor. And God gave an answer to that. We need to look at that in our lives. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Oh, look how much God has done for us. We need to live for Him. We sing the song, I'll live for Him who died for me. So, make a change in conduct and effort. Make a change in conduct and expression. Make a change in conduct and effectiveness. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Lastly, make a change in conduct by eliminating. An elimination of things that should not be mentioned in our lives. In verse 31, as I close, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil spirit. You know how to get bitter? You hold a grudge. Don't hold a grudge. Don't give place to that. Don't let the sun be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. How do you get over something? You pardon. As we're pardoned. How do you get over clamor? You start listening to the still small voice of God. Evil speaking, you change your direction, you change your mind. Be put away from you, and just to make it sure, with all malice. God hates sin, He doesn't hate the sinner. He cried over Jerusalem. He had compassion on the crowds. He spoke the truth. But He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So you know where God wants us to go. We know how to get there. Put off the old man. Make a change of character. Make a change in conduct. Tonight, my question is this. Do you want to get there? Do you want to get where God wants you to be? Or do we need a little bit more growing to do? It starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. It starts with being saved. And then it continues with us walking as Noah walked. And to be just. And to be righteous. And to walk for Him. Do you want to get there tonight? It's your choice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask You, this time of invitation. Father, I just pray that You help us to search our hearts. And Father, help us, Lord, not to lose perspective, Lord, but help us, Lord, just to look to You. Help us, Lord, to be unified in one mind, Your mind. Help us to be unified in one way, Your way. Be with us, time of invitation. We give You this, and we ask that Your Spirit will reign on everyone that's hearing this or may hear it in the future. Change our lives. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.